The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
Celebrity charity single Do They Know It's Christmas tops the charts. It's come in for criticism in many circles for being, as one headline in The Guardian put it, clumsy, patronising and wrong in so many ways. On Sky Television, the song's co-writer Bob Geldof was unapologetic.
He says this trite song will raise a comparative pittance, ignores Africans and has a logo implying the virus struck the entire continent. Patronising and perpetuating myths again, Band-Aid should have learned its lessons and stayed silent. Perhaps less colourfully, what would be your response to that?
Complete load of b****.
But criticism has increased despite the commercial success of the track, and musicians from the regions most affected by the disease have released a very different kind of song. Africa, stop Ebola.
L'Afrique est pleine de tristesse de voir nos familles mourir. Ne touchons pas nos malades, ne touchons pas nos mourants.
The verses in French urge parents to follow and respect the advice of medical authorities and express the devastation and hurt it's causing. The chorus is in English.
Si vous vous sentez malade, les docteurs vont vous aider. Je vous rassure, les docteurs vont vous aider. Il y a de l'espoir d'arrêter Ebola. Et confiance aux docteurs.
Well, I'm joined now by Carlos Chirinos, producer and co-writer of Africa Stop Ebola. He's on the line from London. By Adekunle Gomez from the African Cultural Project here in Dublin as well. Good morning to both of you. Let me start with you, Carlos. Where did the idea for that song come about? You were involved in the production of it.
Well, as with this crisis, the artists and myself and all the people involved in this project, we were very concerned about what was happening. And we try to understand what is the origin of this disease. This is a disease like, if you remember back in the day when HIV/AIDS came out, nobody really knows what is the origin. But the main problem is the transmission from human to human. So what we tried to do, and this came out of the images, the same horrific images that we watch on TV, and the artists who are mainly based down there in the region, they were also very, very concerned. So what we tried to do was to produce a song aimed at the West African population living there and try to deliver messages that help them understand how to stop the disease. And this, in the song, the lyrics, which are only not only in French and English, but also in about five different indigenous languages popular across the region, they relay specific health messages, trying to get people to understand what they actually need to do. And that implies hygiene, sanitation, not touching the bodies of the sick, respecting also the people who are coming out alive, because that's the other thing, that the good stories about Ebola are not coming out enough, which is people are surviving, and those who are surviving are being stigmatized. So the song tries to address all these issues and send a positive message of hope as well, that this situation can be overcome.
Are you a fan? Are you a fan of the Band-Aid song, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Well, look, I've been asked that question so many times. If we talk about the song itself, I think it's problematic. I think the lyrics are in a way, and this is what most populations in Africa are finding it, how can I explain this? They're finding it disrespectful in a way, because it continues to portray Africa as a place of famine. And you will know this, you know, 30 years ago when we heard this song and the images associated with it, since then we have associated Africa with famine and all these horrific images, which is not entirely true. And I think the new version, although it has changed some of the lines, it still has some lyrics that, you know, suggest that Africa is a place of disease, that the clanging chimes of doom, that the only hope they have tonight is survival. And it's really not true. That applies to about 3-4 countries. And if you compare this, and this is another thing, you compare Ebola crisis with the HIV/AIDS crisis, it's incomparable. You know, we have 5,000 people die of Ebola. There are about 20 million that die every year of HIV/AIDS. So I think that the lyrics in the song are problematic in a way. I think, however, that the whole Band-Aid concept and the whole idea of giving, it's really commendable. So the thinking behind it is really positive, but we value more the actual strength of a song. And the song is a capsule of information. And I think that we need to look at that, how the song will survive this crisis way after it's finished. And it will continue to repeat the same narrative, that Africa is a poor place, we need to help it, and all that.
Adekunle Gomez from the African Cultural Project. You're based here in Dublin, but you're a Ghanaian.
I'm from Ghana.
You're from Ghana. What do you think of these charity singles? What do you think of Africa Stop Ebola?
Well, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge the work being done by the frontline workers, especially one forgotten group. And by that, I mean those who look after the bodies, I mean, to send people onto the next life.
Because that's something that possibly is forgotten as these kind of epidemics in other countries, whether it be war, whether it be disease, whether it be famine, those bodies need to be respected and given a proper burial. And I know that Concern and the Glasnevin Trust have been involved now recently in trying to bury these people with dignity and mark their graves so that their families can come in years to come and find them. Which is very important.
Certainly. And I think, as I said, it's very important to acknowledge that. My thoughts are also with friends from those countries and their Irish families, because I know people who are married to people from nationals from those three countries. So I like to start by saying that. To come to the song, then, I think the controversy, to me, rests on not listening to what the people involved are saying. As somebody said, it is not really what you do for someone, but how you make that person feel. And a lot of Africans I speak to, they get the impression that nobody is listening to what they have to say. And it's always, oh, we know what is good for you.
So what do you feel about the song then? Produced, I know Carlos is a Venezuelan, obviously has great sympathies and understands what's going on in Africa, but do you think that African charity single is something positive as well, that information-based song?
Well, making a record is one way of addressing any situation. I think what is at issue here now is the content of the message. Like, if we remember, or if we cast our mind back to what Carlos had just said, you get the feeling that it is a message which is very, very practical, relevant. And in that respect, if you compare it to the Band-Aid, some people feel that it doesn't really kind of send any message which the people probably take something from.
On the line is Newell Sumbu, who's a friend of the programme and friend of RTE as well. Good morning to you, Newell. How are you?
Morning. Good morning to you. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for taking a break. You're recording in studio at the moment. You have strong opinions on these kind of charity songs.
Yes, I am completely against all the not just the Band-Aid song, but all the charity, the way the charity industry, I call it, the charity industry portray Africa in Europe is just completely... It's completely wrong. I think at this stage, day and age, it should be banned. Because I give an example from song, the Band-Aid song. Do they know it's Christmas? The first time I ever heard that song, I felt very insulted, because we always had very good Christmas growing up back home. We'd always sit in family. You know, my grandfather, my grandparents, all the family. We'd all sit in family and sing songs. You know. Santa never came. We never had Santa, but we were always happy.
In the Congo.
You know, we were happy. Yes, we didn't have presents in the morning, but we were happy because we sang song all night. But the day I heard that song, I was like, who is this guy saying, do they know it's Christmas at all? We knew it was Christmas, even though we did not have presents. You see, the idea of the Western people, if you if you don't have presents, that's not a good Christmas. But that's not the way we were brought up. We're not brought up that way. We, you know, we had what we had. And on Christmas Day, actually, we always had my favorite meal was made on Christmas Day. Just that alone was enough to, you know, to make me enjoy Christmas.
What was that meal? What was that meal, if you don't mind me asking, Neil?
Well, the meal is it's Saka Saka Madis, it's called. It's basically a mix of cassava leaves and beans, and also decided there'll be like a full chicken. You know, chicken would be very expensive back home, so you wouldn't have it every day. But on Christmas Day, there was always that. So that was, even just that alone was enough to make you enjoy Christmas. And the day I first heard that song, I felt so insulted. I was like, who is this guy? And just before, I just watched the video of the song. And again, it's the same thing. It's, you know, the horrific image of Africa famine. And then next, it was like Bob Geldof, you know, flashing lights, cars, Bono coming up, you know, coming out looking like a rock star. Again, he's portraying Africa in the same way, like, you know, it's a famine place and where they, you know, where the rock stars are trying to help them. And just between those rock stars, they have enough money themselves to just dig into their pocket and give on if they actually really want to help. You know, I don't think they want to help. I think it's their ego-centric trip. I'm sure if you go now on YouTube or on Spotify or iTunes, you'll find that Bob Geldof's music is selling more just because of the song, because this is actually good for his publicity.
But there is a significant amount of money raised, though. You'd have to say that is a good and positive thing, and it's going directly to help fight the disease.
Well, that's what people say. I don't, you know, that's what people say. Money, where that money goes, I don't even want to get into that.
Sure.
Because where that money goes, you know, where does it go? I don't want to get into that. I think it's just their egocentric trait. They just want to get more publicity. Okay, let's do this. And I take this time to just say, it's not just about the Band-Aid song. It's also all the charity industry. At least it has to be stopped, this whole image of Africa, of famine, you know. That's why most people hated the Guinness Act. I loved it because they could see that, you know, in Africa, there's all, you know, we struggle, but at the end of the day, we still go and try to look good because that's the way, that's what we know.
Thank you so much for joining us and give us your opinion. I know that you're in the recording studio at the moment. Carlos, you're still on the line there. Thank you for being in the studio in London. How different are the lyrics for Africa Stop Ebola compared to Band-Aid?
Well, I think they are aimed at two different audiences. Africa Stop Ebola is really aimed at audiences in West Africa. It sends a message of what to do. So it's actually what I did. This is what my role in this song was, to advise the writers, was to advise the artists. So I did the research on what is the protocol to stop Ebola, which is prevention. It's really the only way to stop Ebola is prevention, which is not touching the bodies of the dead people, avoiding contact, the direct contact with the sick. And so the lyrics basically send those messages in very popular and normal, you know, down-to-earth language. So it's trying to reach. Why? And you reckon why? Because radio, this very medium that we're speaking on, is the most popular medium across Africa. Now, over 90% penetration is radio. So if you want to send a message to people there, and there is high levels of illiteracy still, unfortunately, you can't send a poster, you can't send a leaflet. You need to speak to the people. And this is the value of the song. This is what I disagree with, the whole approach of let them know it's Christmas. The song itself is the most powerful tool of communication there is. No question about it. A song will be, if it's a popular song, it will be repeated on radio every day, many times throughout the day. People will talk about it, and that's what we really wanted.
Where can people get the single, Carlos? Where can they get it?
This single is available, and this is the other thing. The single was made primarily for that, but we're also trying to raise funds to help the work of MSF, Doctors Without Borders, who have been there from day one, helping the people. So you can find this song on iTunes, on Amazon, you know, the usual retailers. We don't have a big marketing, we don't have any marketing budget. So what my suggestion is, people should really think about what they do, and if they want to buy Let Them Know It's Christmas, maybe buy ours as well.
Maybe
they're very
the
cheap,
two.
You know, buy both.
Very
and
cool.
You'll be helping, you know, you'll be helping both causes. But I think the key question is, what messages are we sending there? And the problem, the trouble with Let Them Know It's Christmas is, as our friends were saying, it still portrays Africa in a negative way, and that has a knock-on effect. No one will want to go on holidays to Africa next year or the years to come after they listen to this song.
Well, Carlos, thank you so much for joining us on the line from London. Carlin, cheer us. Adekunle, what do you feel about all that?
Well, as Carlos has just said, the song is a very powerful tool, and anybody familiar with calypso music would know that in the Caribbean...
You were kind of bopping along to that as it was playing as well. There's kind of a positive feel to that too. And I know we spoke before to other people from Africa as well. To remember that there are places in Africa that have modern cities, airports, skyscrapers. We would fly into Addis Ababa. I know from personal experience that it's a very modern city. It isn't all the bush and poverty. There are great places to be, and things are changing as well. And hopefully that'll continue as well.
So I was just going to say that it is a form of social commentary. And the thing about the current release of the Band-Aid, people forgot something about the date on which it was released. The 15th of November was a significant date in the history of Africa, which was the start of the Berlin Conference. It was a conference which divided Africa into different territories. I mean, the Nigerian Nobel Prize Literature winner, Luwole Soyinka, questioned how people can, and I quote, the viability of nations whose boundaries were laid out by outsiders. And I mean, you can just kind of,
I wonder, do they know that?
Exactly.
Do they know that date was that? Adekunle Gomez from the African Culture Project, thank you so much for joining us.